I appreciate the church, our church, especially when we do this traveling. It feels wonderful. It's not just a feeling, but there's a confidence that we have as we go out, knowing that we have brothers and sisters here praying and lifting us up. Very conscious of the spiritual warfare that's out there when we leave this comfort zone. And in some ways, that's a bad way to put it. There's safety in the body. It's a wonderful safety. It's a gift. Excuse me. It's a gift we have that's right here, a covering. Not just a comfort zone. I shouldn't say that. There's a gift of covering we have here in the body. And I think we have this strong covering so that we can do things that God calls us to do that go outside of that covering. And obviously the covering is extended. So I do appreciate this body for that in so many different ways. Well, I've been stuck here in Matthew for the last 8 months, I think. And I love it. I've been in Matthew 12 and 13. I wish I could say it was the whole book of Matthew. I think I mentioned a little while ago, I started out doing the Bible through the year. I'm a little behind. I'm stuck here in Matthew 13. I can't get out of there now. But this is an amazing chapter. An amazing chapter of parables. Incredible parables. And I've just enjoyed in my devotionals, my devotions each morning, going through just sections and not really taking on too much, but looking very closely at the individual parables and all the references that we have. I have a pretty cool study Bible, and I found some really amazing software online, Bible CC, jot it down, change your life. Greek commentaries, all this kind of stuff, all free, right at your fingertips, which literally fingertips, iPad, it's awesome. So I'm in there, and it's just great. I feel like a theologian that has all these resources throughout history, and I really do, although I'm not really a theologian in that way. Amazing. And so this has been an enriching year for me in Matthew 12 and 13. And so today, I want to talk about one of those parables. Actually, two will come up, but one of the major ones is the parable of the weeds. So let me read this. Maybe we can pull it up as well. Matthew 13, 24 is where we'll start. This comes in two parts. Jesus delivers this parable of the weeds, and then there's a little break, and then his disciples come back and they say, hey, will you go back through that parable of the weeds and explain that and break it down? And Jesus does. He breaks this one down. He breaks down two parables in Matthew 13. The first one is the parable of the sower. He tells it, and the disciples say, oh, I'm not getting that. What is going on? And so he tells them each symbol and each aspect of that parable. Tells a few other parables, then you got the parable of the weeds. And then they go and they ask for the explanation, and he lays it out, breaks down all these symbols. So let's read. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? Weeds, right? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The slave said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up, to tear out all the weeds, right? He said to them, But he said, no. For while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. He presented, oh, so that's it. You're good. Thank you. You knew, didn't you? And then jump ahead, will you, Ethan, to please, to verse 36. This is the next parable, but we'll skip this one. We'll go to the explanation. So in 13:36 is the explanation of this one. Then he left the crowds, went into the house. Disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. This is God. And the field is the world. That's an important thing to kind of grab right there. As for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. The tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The enemy is the one who came in the middle of the night, threw the bad seed out there. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom and all stumbling blocks, and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Father, would you go before us now? Thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord God. Your word is just a sign, another sign of your wonderful grace in our lives, that you've given us this wonderful word that brings life, that brings truth, that brings healing, brings understanding. And that's what we need. We need your grace, and we ask for your grace to guide us as I speak, as we hear what you'd have us know. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the beauty of the parable, the beauty of all parables in many ways, is they're complex, multifaceted pictures, right? I mean, great literature usually involves a picture. There's a cliche, a picture's worth a thousand. There we go. Everybody knows it. It's very true, right? A parable is a beautiful picture because it's not a simple platitude, not a simple statement of truth, but rather a complex picture of truth. And if we look closely at it, we see many things about life and about reality that are really unfolded in it. There's not just one message in the parable. There are many, many truths about our lives here, about who God is, about the future, about our present struggles, about sin. And there's so much going on. I think there's three key things I want to break down in this sin, and three that have just kind of pushed and impacted me. The first one is the picture in this parable is a picture of our sinful state. I apologize. I have a cough. It's not pretty. I hate to bring my little son, Sheffield, but that's his first really major influence on my life, is this cough. Now he's giving me a pretty bad cold. So I'm going to do that sometimes. Sorry. Yeah, that would be beautiful. Wow. That's like prophetic. Wonderful. That is good. Thank you. We have a picture of our sinful state. Corrupted seed, broken and separated from God by our sin and depravity. You know, it's Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Ethan, I'm going to work you hard today. Oh, Peter, I'm going to work you hard today a bit. And I don't want to read it out of mine. Every time I read my ESV, it's weird with the NASB. So let's just go NASB. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. This corrupted seed, this seed the enemy throws out, be not deceived in thinking that this is like all the bad guys in the world. No, no, that's you, right? That's you and that's me, unfortunately. Humbling as it is, we can't really see ourselves in the most ideal light in this parable. That'd be cool. That's not true. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. What's the next one? In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That is not a good guy. And verse 3, among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, what? Even as the rest. That's the bad news, right? That we are that corrupted sin. That is the sons of the enemy that are being thrown out and sowed out. And how that works, the parable doesn't really talk about, but there we are. And there we were, corrupted sons of the enemy, seeds sown by the devil, evil. That is a picture, that is one of the first pictures we have in this text, is a picture of our sinful state. The second one, the second picture we get, is a picture of the evil in the world, right? Just in general, evil in the world, active and growing. That's disturbing, isn't it, as well? That in this parable we have, as weeds, the sin isn't just sitting there. It's not idle. It's not just on the shelf. No, it's active and it's growing. You know, we see another picture of this in the parable of the sower when the good farmer sends out seeds and some of it lands among the weeds or the tares or the thorns. Remember this one? Where the thorns grow up around the good seed and do what? Choke it. Choke it. It's the deceitfulness of riches. It's the concerns of the world. And the weeds choke out the good seed, the good growing plants. This is the evil in the world. Weeds and thorns choking out through the worries of life and the deceitfulness of riches. So not only have we been corrupted, not only can we see ourselves as sinful, formerly children of disobedience, children of wrath, even as the rest, But we're in a whole big company of weeds. That's part of the problem too, right? Part of the problem is not only are we corrupted or have we been corrupted, but we're in a company of corrupted people, which is horrible, which means our company is just further corrupting us, which means the world and all of its, the sins of the world are constant, the message being thrown at us. Yes, keep on sinning. This is the right course. The blind leading the blind. That's my second cliche. Sorry. Keep track for me, will you? Sometimes they're useful, those cliches. So the blind leading the blind. You know, as a professor, I hear a particular confession at least once per week. Oh, you're an English professor. And they often will say, oh, my grammar. You know, don't worry about it. I'm not going to pull out my red marker and mark up your face. People often say, I don't read much. You know, and I say, oh, well, okay. I've never really been much of a reader. I get that all the time. But you know, that's actually not true. That's not true. The truth is, you're constantly reading. You're just not picking your own reading list. Someone else is picking your reading list for you. That's the truth. Culture, I mean, think about it. Advertisers, the industry is putting millions of dollars into sending you books on a regular basis. Books, I say, right? TV, radio, media. Media is amazing. I mean, it's pretty sophisticated in the way they get messages into your head. So people are lying. I don't tell them they're lying, but if I have a chance, I'll say, you know, in truth, you're always reading. You really never stop reading unless you close your eyes and go to bed. That's one time. Otherwise, as soon as you wake up, there's messages on your cereal box. There's messages about truth on your granola bars. There's messages about truth as you drive down the road. You don't have to turn the TV on. There's messages of truth, messages of views of reality being bombarded at you, being thrown at you all the time. You're reading constantly. Problem is, you're not picking your own reading list, right? And so your education, our education, is flawed. We're getting bad education. We're hearing a bad lecture every single day. Dozens of bad lectures was being blasted at you. Bad lectures. False ideas about what truth and beauty are. False ideas about who you are as a person and what your destiny is supposed to be. False ideas about what's going to bring you happiness. All this, on you all the time. Dozens of lectures every single day. Books being read to you about truth. Now, I don't know about you. That's scary and horrifying. I have children, and so my children are even less aware of these messages, and so the double responsibility to make sure they're hearing what is actually true, but they're not the only ones. It's you and I. It's you and I that are being bombarded by these lectures from the world. Reading, being read to constantly, incessantly. Bombarded with messages about truth and beauty, about value and good investments, and real treasure. And I hate to say it, but much of what our culture believes, much of what we often think and believe is fed to us by others, by the weeds growing up and around us. Even those of us who have been transferred from the dark into the light, even those of us who have been moved from weed to wheat, thanks be to God, even those of us who are now wheat growing strong in the field, there are tares and thorns growing around us, influencing us all the time. So we take a combination of pictures 1 and 2. We have this idea of a broken sense of value, a corrupted ability to judge what is true and good. And as I study this chapter, I remember an experience I had in Calcutta, India. I was there with Audrey and Josh. Anybody else? No, just you two. We're in Calcutta, India. This memory of Calcutta speaks a lot about what it means to live in a field of weeds and wheat. So I'll tell you the story. Each morning when we were there, we were ministering. I've told you a little bit about this at different times, but we served at the Mother Teresa homes. And so we were staying on a street called Sutter Street, pretty famous kind of street with a lot of commerce, a lot of hustle and bustle all times a day. A lot of poor folks. Very poor. We saw children and mothers and fathers underneath just tarps on the side of the sidewalk even, and bricks kind of holding things down and the rain come down. And sometimes it flooded and it was, I mean, I waded through knee-deep water after one really heavy flood. Did you get out in that? Yeah, whew. It was awful because, you know, already dirty streets, and then you fill them up with flood water. It was just a bacterial nightmare, you know, and so I was pulling on my pants and trying to get through there. Well, each day we were there, each morning, we'd get up about 5:30 or 5:15 and walk to get to the Mass at 6 o'clock at the Mother House, which was an awesome Mass, just an incredible, usually an incredible sermon by a visiting priest. The nuns would say these incredible prayers, and we would say along with them. They had little printouts. I say all that because it was actually the walk to the Mother House. It was about 30 minutes, 25 minutes. We would walk through these narrow streets, and usually at about 5:45, people were just starting to wake up. And so there were these guys that were sleeping on the side of the road. Some of them were sleeping in their pull carts, you know, or their rickshaws, and just kind of waking up. Some guys taking showers in the public fountains just pouring onto the street. They're just on there kind of giving themselves a shower, just had like a loincloth on or something. We walked through there. It was really a wonderful walk, but there was one point in the walk. We turned this right and then a left. And right up to the left side over here, there was a mound of trash, maybe at least about halfway up this wall. It was pretty daunting, this trash heap. And as you can imagine, it smelled horrible right at this corner. And this mound of trash, not the breadth of this wall, but just bring it in a little bit. That's a huge mound of trash. We'd round the corner and look over, and there was these huge vultures. I mean, huge vultures. Dogs in there, kind of mangy dogs. But you know who else is in there? Men, women, and children. Often over in this big, huge heap. And we would see them, and they'd be like picking at the stuff and pulling it. Some of them have sticks, and they'd kind of dig at the side of this huge trash heap, this huge moldering mess. And this is a trash heap in a slum in Calcutta, India. I've been in a few slums in my life and all around the world. This is one of the worst areas you can imagine. And so they're picking and pulling. And often, as they would pick and pull, they'd find something they liked, and they'd reach in there and grab it out. And sometimes it was something to eat. Sometimes it was something they wanted to go and sell. Sometimes it was rocks or like those chunks of coal they could recycle and resell. Bottles, other kinds of things they'd pull out of this big trash heap. They were searching for treasure, things they wanted inside this trash heap. And you know why I thought of that? I thought of that with the wheat and the weeds because I feel like that's me often. I feel like I am one of those men in there, and it looks a little cleaner because, you know, you put on nice jeans and a nice shirt and you comb your hair, and it looks like you got things together, right? You with me? This is a picture of us in our sin, in our depravity, thinking that we're actually finding things of value, thinking that we're actually going after things that really matter, that have real treasure or real value in them, when in fact, it's moldering, disgusting trash that we're after. Our sin and the deception of the lies in our culture leads us to value the most horrible things. The men and women picking for treasure in this trash. This is you and me without the guidance and grace of Christ in our lives. This is what we once were doing. And truth be told, the scripture makes it pretty clear. This is still where we're drawn sometimes in our sin. This is our other man, right? This is that second unredeemed man, the one that's kind of in our souls. Paul talks about the two men. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. It's the flesh that wants to go back. Don't you remember that? There was some pretty good stuff back there. Hey, Max, let's go check. I think there was some treasure over there. And Max, as a brother, John, man, that is moldering, disgusting, bacteria-infested, gross. What are you doing? This is the body speaking to us, right? Oh yeah. Remember, we were eating out of that stuff, and it was killing us. Romans. Let's go there, will you, Peter? Romans 1:18-23 describes this. I'm sorry, this is all really gross this morning. It's bad news. I know, we're starting with bad news. We're going to get to the good stuff. I have good news for us. And stuff I want to talk about that's really invigorating and inspiring as well. But let's look at this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and are in unrighteousness. because that which is known about God is evident within them. This is us in the beginning, right? Before sin enters our state, for God made it evident to them. Go ahead. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, God's invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that we are without excuse. For even though we knew God, we did not honor him as God or give thanks, but we became futile in our speculations. I'm pretty sure there's treasure here. And in our foolish heart was darkened, professing to be wise. We thought we saw something good here. We became fools and exchanged the glory of God, the glory of the incorruptible God, for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. I'll stop there. But keep that there, will you, Peter? So we exchange the glory of the incorruptible God. This is what we were made to worship. We're made to worship the incorruptible God. And where do we find ourselves? Seeking, clawing, scratching, fighting for status, for power, for money. Because what? That's going to make us happy, man. That's the treasure we need. Oh, man, that's the greatest lie of the devil. It's the sin in us that makes us go for that. And the weeds around us. Oh, yeah, what are you doing? You're reading your Bible? You're doing this in the church? You got to get ahead, man. You want to really find the treasure? You got to go over here and do this. You got to make sure this is happening with your boss and make sure you get to this bad news with this guy and weasel your way around there and steal this and cheat on your taxes and so forth and so on. And you got this is where you got to do it. If you run out of money, you're going to have a real hard time. You're going to be on the street. You're going to have a hard time living. No. That's the lie of the devil. It's the lie. That's the old man speaking to us. It's the weeds. And unfortunately, this is what happens, right? Exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. That's our fear of man. That's our desire to be revered by men and women, of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures, and whatever we're worshiping, whatever treasures we think are going to be in this big mound of junk. So let's transition here. Something wonderful. Okay, I got good stuff here. So in Matthew 13:44, we have a parable of the treasure in a field. Let's look at that, Peter. Matthew 13:44, the parable of the treasure in the field. Because you know, one of my points here is I think we've been made treasure hunters. Write that down. That's a good one. We've been made treasure hunters. I think that's part of our nature. God's put that in us. The Spirit of God. We are made in the image of God as treasure hunters, as people who are made to be connected to a God, an eternal God, a perfect God. And like someone perhaps brought up in much affluence and wealth, we have a taste for things of eternity, right? We're pretty picky down deep in our souls, in a good way, I would say. Because we know that God is eternal and all this other stuff is fading. And although in my sin, I think, gosh, maybe it's there. And we get it, it's dissatisfying. We know it's killing us. It's not a good thing. But here, this is a sweet parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, buys that field. We have this in us. The kingdom of heaven is like this treasure hidden in a field. And we're made to go and seek that treasure. We're made to go after it and try to understand it and find it and then possess it ourselves because we desire to be connected to God Almighty. You don't have to go, don't go to this one, but Ecclesiastes 3:11 says we were eternity has been put in our hearts. Eternity has been put in our hearts, in the hearts of men. Eternity is there. And so right away, obviously, you see it. There's a conflict. Right? Our flesh, I think this will satisfy me. Our spirit, what's inside of our hearts, eternity says, no, man, please tell me there's something better than this. We were made to seek treasure, to handle things of great value. We are made in the image of God. Christ's sacrifice, his body and blood shed for us, gives us life, gives us new vision. Restores us to the lives we were meant to live in Christ. That's the cross, right? Because God sees us, and even while we were enemies, Christ dies for us. as we're picking through the trash, as we're throwing our lives away, as we're eating just poisonous junk that's destroying us and everyone around us, as we were once weeds wrapped around other wheat, perhaps bringing them down, all the junk that we've done, right? At that moment, he says, I love these people. I love the world so much, and I see them dying. I'm going to give my very life and humble myself and make the great exchange their junk for my perfection. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. The parable of the weeds provides a third picture, third and final picture. The first one is our own sin. The second one is the sin in the world all around us, right? The third one, think about what that guy says. No, don't pull the weeds up. Don't pull the weeds. Why? Because in just the off chance that you might pull up a Tony, can't take that risk. You might pull up a Ryan. No, no, a Cooper. No, are you kidding me? This guy is a weed. I know. Bad news. But I got my hand there. I got wheat kind of coming near him. I got things going on. I'm going to turn Tony into something beautiful. This is our Father, long-suffering and patient. How patient is that? That he's willing to suffer the humiliation of a field covered in wheat and weeds, and just think about how bad that probably looked, right? Willing to humble himself for us. Willing to say, no, just wait. Wait for the harvest, because I don't want one of my beloved ones pulled up on accident. And I know that in the process of my intervention, of my sacrifice for them, there will be wheat that will be weeds transformed into wheat. And this is why he wants to wait. This is why we have this time now where, boy, it doesn't look good, does it? It doesn't look good. People doing bad stuff. A lot of weeds, active and evil growing in the world. But we have a God who is long-suffering and powerful and all-knowing and active and far more powerful than that evil that's going on in the weeds. We have this God who's at work among us and in us and using us to pull people from Weedville into wheatness, which rhymes with sweetness, which I like. God's wonderful grace and long-suffering patience. That's why I'm here. Pull up that weed. If he would have said, pull up those weeds, I would have been gone long ago. Many of us here. And there's more. Let's take a look at this. In closing here, let's look at Romans 12. This is like such an awesome chapter. Romans 12. I was going to ask you for a commitment of hands. Let's do it. I want a commitment of hands here that at some point during this week, you'll read through Romans 12 and pray for the things in Romans 12. Well, can I have a show of hands? Who will do that, please? I'm not going to let anybody not raise their hand, actually, so just put them up. That's right. Good. Just checking. Pat, please. Thank you. And what's going on here? Good. Thank you. Okay, awesome. Mike, did you hear that? Did you put your hand up, Michael? Okay, good. Let's just look at the kingdom of, Romans 12. Romans 12, my friend Peter, please. This is a charge for us as believers, the Christian life laid out. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Now, you can do this, right? You can do this because God is active in this field. He's moving and doing amazing things. He is a redemptive, redeeming, sanctifying God. He's not going to leave you in your trash picking. He's going to come and transform your vision. This is an awesome God we have. Present your bodies acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Keep going, Pete. And do not be conformed to this world. Stop going over there. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because why? He doesn't say because you're smart, you can pull this out. No, because I will help you. My grace is sufficient by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So, for example, God, will you help continue to transform me this week? Will you continue to transform my co-workers? Will you continue to transform our church and the renewing our minds? Will you continue to renew my mind, Lord? I don't want to go back. And there's that gross parable, the dog returns to his vomit. Was anybody thinking about that one when I was talking about? Yeah, that's a gross proverb. It's a proverb, isn't it? Yeah. Peter says it too. A dog returns to his vomit. What's the other part of that? Yo. As a fool returns to his folly. Yes. Okay, that's what we don't want to do. So we're praying, Lord, renew our minds so we can be a part of this process of redemption that you're doing in this great field, which is the world. Keep going, Pete, please. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. You were once picking the trash too. Please don't be judgmental, right? Lord, help us not to be judgmental. How easy that is to make that switch, ironic and gross. We don't want to be that. But to think so as to have a sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. You going? For just as we have many members in one body, all members do not have the same function. Please. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. This is the beauty of the field, right? What God is doing in the field, he's creating us and turning us into one. Keep going. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us. Why? This is awesome. Lord, use my gifts. And I don't even know what they are in total and complete. And honestly, I don't know how to use my gifts to honor you or to honor the body all the time. I need help with this. Lord, this is promised. This is so sweet. Remember we started the morning with this bad news, right? Picking junk, disgusting, slum lovers, one and all. And God has renewed our minds, and he's in the process of renewing us. And now what is he doing? He has given us gifts so we can exercise them accordingly to do what? To go and help other dying children and men and women from the slum into something of real value. No, man, I was there. I was picking junk out of there like you. And by faith, by grace, now I'm living and I'm searching for good treasure. And I found this treasure in a field, and there's enough here for everyone. Come, here's treasure. Here's treasure. Prophecy. And go, keep going, please. In service, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching. These are all the gifts. Keep going. All the things he's equipped us with now that we are wheat. Or he who exhorts in his exhortation, or he who gives with liberality. Where are you in this? Giving, exhorting, serving, teaching, leading, showing mercy. Keep going. Let love be without, Lord, let our love be without hypocrisy. There's too much of that. There's too much of that junk. Lord, let our love be without hypocrisy. Help us to abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Father, help us to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Man, it gets tiring, especially if you forget that it's not you who's doing it by your own strength. And so that's why I want us to pray this as a body, because as we look at this, we see our calling, we see our gifts, we see what God is doing in the field. He's pulling you in with your unique gifts. But if you forget that it's him, you get tired. And so we got to continue to realize, God, we need your strength to pull this off, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. I think that's it, isn't it? No. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Now, that's tough, too. And so this is our calling as wheat to do this stuff. And so thank you for your commitment. Let's be praying for ourselves. Once weeds, once picking through junk, and still our flesh tempted back that way. In a community of weeds, people who are weak. Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And yet, sons and daughters, those who have experienced the transformation from weed to wheat and now living in the grace of what God has offered us in Christ Jesus, and we pray. Pray for the body. Pray for the kingdom. Pray for this field that is being transformed. Pray for our own minds, the renewing and the transforming of our minds. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you came to us while we were yet picking and valuing things in the slum trash heap. Lord, we thank you that you continue to pour out your grace upon us even when we slip back into that junk. Father, forgive us. then please accept our praise and our thanks for your patient, long-suffering heart. Because if it wasn't for that, we would be dead. Dead in our trespasses and sins and continuing to destroy others. Help us this week, Father, as you pour out your grace continually to see life, to see truth and understanding in Romans 12 and other parts of the scriptures, but to see there especially how you've equipped us and what you've done in this world in redemption to redeem and to draw your children from the slum trash into glorious light, to real treasure hunting. Give us eyes to see the true treasure of your love and of your spirit and of all that you are. Everybody said,